Hey, this is Matt Blake from the SoCal Sound production team. We thank you for listening to the SoCal Sound and appreciate you checking out the live sessions. These sessions are listener supported, so please consider becoming a subscribing member. Your contribution helps keep us filming and recording live sessions like the one you're about to hear. Just click subscribe now on the SoCalSound.org homepage and make sure to credit live sessions on the drop-down menu. Thanks again and enjoy another SoCal Sound session.
It is another 88.5 SoCal Sound session. We are here with Dawes, Taylor Griffin. Welcome to our planet.
Thanks for having us
here at Northridge. And it's so wild. I heard that you guys were born in Northridge. I don't know if both of you were.
I was born in Northridge and Tarzana.
Yeah, our mom grew up in a house right near here. And then we all lived there in like 2008. We made our North Hills record there in North Hills. And so we're pretty familiar with this part of Northridge.
Yeah, our mom went to high school down the street, James Monroe. Mm-hmm. So that's all. This is like.
How's it feel to be back?
Oh, driving past the Norwood, like the old bar that we would always joke about going to, but never did, and the Starbucks. That was a big deal for us. We'd wake up and walk to the Starbucks.
Yeah, that was like the thing to do.
We felt like adults.
It feels like a million years ago. The fact that, I mean, I was only 17, and so the fact that this is where we lived, and my understanding of LA was Malibu, where I had come from, and now Northridge. And so I didn't, the fact that we lived here is crazy when we could have lived anywhere else, like Eagle Rock or areas where there was just more happening. And so, yeah, it's hard to believe that it ever happened.
Yeah, if we ever went out, we would drive to the east side or the west
side. So far away. Like we played shows in Tangier, and it was just like, might as well have been in Long Beach.
But memories are so awful because, like, I don't. If I had to like sum up everything that happened in those like 2 or 3 years of living here, I could fill like maybe like 3 minutes. Like it's just gone.
But I mean, you guys made a record here.
We made a record here.
We started
all
our bands.
We would joke that North Hills, the album title for our first record, always sounded like some innocuous, like typical folk rock album title, but it was really like a specific part of the specifically weird part of the San Fernando Valley. And we kind of like that duality. Obviously, it was just for us, but we always liked that.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
And how do you feel about, you guys are celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Stories Don't End. How's that feel? You guys are getting up there.
I know, I was gonna say, I don't feel like an old man. We started pretty young, so I'm probably older inside than I am actually in biological age.
Yeah, your organs.
Yes, I'm like 50 inside.
And touring has aged you.
Exactly.
Inside.
Yeah, well, you know, it's cool to be, I mean, this is now our third 10-year anniversary of a record, and it's allowing us to go revisit the material, dig up old demos, old mixes, early versions. That stuff's really fun. And yeah, like we don't, you know, like any artist, like you don't want to ever see yourself as the old kids, but I don't think we are, but it does put things into perspective of like we've been doing this for a minute, and even with some of our heroes, like some of my favorite bands, The Band, Dire Straits, we have more records than them now, and that's just so weird.
That is kind of wild. That you think you'll be like the Stones and you'll just keep going? Can you imagine that they're still, they just announced another tour?
Yeah, it's very
I mean,
strange.
Hopefully. I mean, they're obviously doing it at such a level that it's its own economy and they kind of have to. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think just to do it at any level for that long, I mean, you should be so lucky. You know, it's the fact that we've been able to do it this long is I'm grateful for. And so I hope we're playing in our 70s.
Yeah, we're determined to drive it into the ground, that's for sure. But I do, it's with them, it's like, you know, it's the option is to go play stadiums. For us, it's like we have this very solid, but relatively, especially if we're comparing it to the Stones, modest operation. So it's hard to imagine taking that into your 70s and 80s. But we feel so lucky to have had this for so long, even though, again, it's not the Hollywood Bowl. So if we could carry this on for another, I mean, it's one of those things where it's such an, we do feel so lucky. We do feel so grateful. It does feel like an embarrassment of riches in its own right. So to cross our fingers and hope for even one more year almost feels greedy, but that's definitely the plan, to just keep doing this for as long as we possibly can. I never want a real job.
We had one and together around the corner and
it kind of, where'd you work?
We worked at First American Home Warranty, which is where our mom was for many, many years. And she, you know, got her dumbass kids a job there. And
so we had headsets on and we were talking to contractors.
It was
about like
cool
heaters and stuff.
I only worked from 10 to 2, yeah, but it was so miserable so that, and I refused to let it get in the way of my nightlife because I was 18. I was going
to
do my thing.
You had a job to do.
And I would go into like the private bathroom, which we could use because of our mom and the privilege that we were granted. And I would just lay toilet paper on the ground and sleep for 10 or 15 minutes. Because I was
so someone who really had to go and pound on the door.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. But anyway, that's all to say I don't know how to do anything else because this is what we've been doing since forever.
A lot of music and a little bit of telemarketing.
Yeah. That's really funny. So was that the only real job you guys ever had to have?
Yeah, I scooped ice cream like at a summer in high school, that kind of thing. I was an umpire for one game. That was a disaster because I'm just not very good at being competitive and I'm also very persuadable. So. That happened. It happened. I called like I said it was like the last run of the game or something. This kid slid and I'm like, he's out. I was kind of just guessing. And then one slew of dads was psyched and one slew of dads was pissed. And they're like, what are you talking about? He was definitely safe. So I changed my call, which is like a cardinal sin. So like, and then the other one's like, you cannot do that. And I just took my stuff off. Like, I never want to do this again.
That's very funny. I did want to show, you guys have a pretty cool box set of your last album, Misadventures of Doom Scroller. Have you guys checked it out lately?
I haven't seen the brown vinyl. It's
retro,
pretty cool. It's really
style.
Dope.
Yeah. Also, it's like a series of singles, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Each side, you're going to give the listener a lot of work. You got to keep
flipping. Yeah, well, that's part of the fun.
Yeah, yeah. A little exercise.
And every song is like 10 minutes, so. They could sit down.
So it's been a minute since this one came out. You guys had told me you guys are working on a new record.
Yeah, we're just kind of beginning to. We're building a studio in Taylor's backyard, essentially. And so that's taking shape, but we're just trying to balance, like, when do we have to have the record done at a certain point before we start touring in March. And so we also have to finish the studio because the idea is to make the record in the studio. And right now we're just kind of like trying to figure out how to do both. And either way, the record will get finished. It's just a matter of whether or not we do it there.
Yeah, but it's been, I mean, we've had a pretty solid, we've been pretty consistent. It's been a record every 2 years since we started. In 2015, it was only 1 year that went by. We did 2015 and 2016. And then since then we've been back on a 2 year thing. And so this came out, Misadventures came out in 2022. So if we can get this thing out, the next one out by sometime next year, then we'll stay on track.
You won't have to go back to telemarketing?
Yeah, won't have, not yet.
You got to keep on schedule. Yeah.
But then, and ideally with the studio, like we would really love to like ratchet it up and start to come out with a lot more music. I find that, you know, there's so much complaining about stream culture for musicians, and I think that it's all legitimate. I think that's it's really, a lot of dust is still in the air needing to be settled. But I do think one awesome thing that's already happened is like singles are back in a way that they weren't when CDs were king. So people are releasing singles in a way that feels like very legitimate again. And also just like there's no downside to more music more often, other than like, you know, recording budgets and whatever people have to figure out on their end. But, you know, you find out about bands releasing, whether it's Big Thief or King Gizzard or whatever, like 2 records in a year, 3 records in a year. And it's only a net positive at this point. And that wasn't the case when we started. It was like, you need to milk it, you need to make your money back. And now records are cheaper and fans are willing to digest more. So I like the idea of like, once the studio is built, that maybe we can start actually having not only just a record a year, but maybe 2 a year or something like that. I feel like it's a good time for that.
Seems like it would be dangerous for you though to have a studio in your backyard.
I know, what
it's sleep.
Yeah, I know. But it's true, but it's also like it's better than it being, you know, offsite. I have 2 kids now, and so like the idea of like once they're in school in the morning until the moment they're back, I'm in the backyard, and then when they're home I can jump back into, you know, kid stuff, then that might work out really good.
I have a studio in my backyard, just a little drum room, and I will say it destroys, in the same way that the iPhone did, it destroys the line between like home time, work time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of always on if you want to be.
So you guys are here to promote your Christmas show coming up, mm-hmm. Christmas in L.A.
We're huge fans. Christmas.
Yeah. Are you or not? Did you grow up celebrating Christmas?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're not Jewish, contrary to it. We get to be, often people think we are because of our last name. Yeah. Yeah, we grew up celebrating Christmas. I loved it, you know.
But you said that kind of sarcastically.
No, no. Are you not a big fan of Christmas? No, I do. I do love Christmas. I do love it, especially now with kids. That now there was a few years where I'm like, you know, do we really need to do all this traveling and all this hubbub? And now I'm like, rah, rah, I'm all for it. We've never done a Christmas show though.
Yeah, it's the first one. Is this going to be annual? Setting it up?
That's kind of the idea if it goes well. I mean, like, we do feel we're in this privileged position of having a lot of pals here. So, like, you know, we invited a lot of people to come do this one. And we've already thought about a handful of people that would be able to do the next one with us. And if it could be a regular thing, that would be so cool. So we'll have to see how this year goes.
Are you going to tell us any special guests or any hints?
Well, I think
what's happening?
I think a handful of them will be announced by the time this goes up. Like my wife's going to come sing, Mandy Moore, Mike Viola, and our friend Sam Nelson from X Ambassadors. And then there's a lot more that are going to be announced. But yeah, we've never done this before. When I was first putting together a set list, I was like seeing who had Christmas songs. Like Mike has a Christmas single, Mandy has a Christmas single, other friends of ours have Christmas songs they're tangentially involved with. And so I was like putting together this list of like only Christmas music. And it started to get pretty weird. Like I felt like this, no one's gonna like this. This is too much. So we're trying to like set it up so that there's some tried and true Dawes moments of just us doing our thing. Some folks are gonna come and do their own stuff. And then some folks are gonna come do like a Christmas song. And so it'll be a nice mix.
Will there be a grand finale?
Maybe.
Probably. Holiday tune. Yeah.
Like we have a Christmas song with the Killers that I feel like hopefully our community, our fan base is familiar with enough to where that can might be a nice grand finale that we all sing together.
And you're playing that one today here at the
station. Yeah.
How did that song come together? And it kind of sounds a little bit, how do you guys feel about spending Christmas in L.A.? Because that one kind of has like a... another Christmas in L.A.
It started as Brandon's brainchild, Brandon from the Killers. And he brought it to me half done. And I loved it. And I was excited to finish it with him. He was projecting... he grew up in Vegas and now he lives out in Utah. He's not familiar with that experience of Christmas in LA. And we are not transplants. That song is very specifically about that experience of growing up somewhere else and coming to LA to make it big and then being kind of stuck here for the holidays, like a lot of people we know and knew would often do. That was never our experience, though, because our home was here. We never knew anything different. Yeah, we never knew snow in Christmas. We never, like, we don't know what seasons means. but we definitely... felt like this is just what it always was. So we've always enjoyed family time and Christmas time here in LA. But it was fun to try to step into the shoes of all of our struggling actor friends and what that must be like, especially when you do come from a place that does have falling leaves and snow on the ground.
Or if you're from somewhere else and you can't go home.
Yeah, which is often the case. Bummer, yeah.
Well, the show is going to be at the Bellwether. That show is Saturday, December 9th, Dawes and Friends. Before you guys go, though, I do have a big beef with you guys.
Okay.
So then there's a few of us that have this feeling, and I just wanted to get your take. The idea of when the tequila runs out and you drink champagne sounds like a terrible idea. You're really guiding everyone in a terrible place. So please explain yourself.
That song we were doing for our record, All Your Favorite Bands, before we recorded it, we toured it. Just like in smaller rooms to just get a sense of how those songs worked in front of fans. And we were at Pappy and Harriet's and after all the All Your Favorite Band songs, we were staying on the grounds because they have that motel there or whatever, and there's like a house. So we kind of had this after party, which isn't really the Dawes.
And Grace Potter was there, her crew was there.
Gil.
Yeah, it was
a really fun party. And Jason Bozell, who's like a frequent collaborator of ours, drummer of Rilo Kiley, one of our best friends in the world, he was there. And like we got there really late because we were packing the gear. And so when we got there, we were like, is there any more tequila left? And he was like, no, there's no more tequila, but there's just champagne. And we got pretty lit up pretty quick. And so every time we'd pass him in the hallway, we would just sing that line to each other, pretty much exactly as it is, that same phrasing, that same inflection. And we were in a state in which it was particularly funny. and when we woke up the next day, we're like, yeah, that was pretty fun singing that all night. We should like write a song around it. So it came from that. It did not come from
drinking tequila all night and then drinking.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a bad idea.
Yeah.
It was just something, we were just in a position where like, this is your only option. And that, so that became
also, there's a certain type of drinker who's so, like they're trying to hurt themselves, you know, mm-hmm. and I feel like they think that they deserve it.
Yeah. I want this to hurt.
Well, thank you guys for coming by. 88.5, the SoCal Sound, is presenting your show, Christmas in L.A., Dawes and Friends, Bellwether, December 9th. And it's really been super awesome to have you guys stop by and chat.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
3, 4. Woke up to sun streaming in my room. Warm beachfront, palm, December afternoon. You close your eyes, another year blows by. Something in the wind, just another life. My parents sent a Christmas card and tennis shoes. We understand you stay in, and we're proud of you. There's a well-rehearsed disinterest in the atmosphere. I don't know if that's what this town gave me, or if it led me here. And I've played so many parts, I don't know which one's really me. Don't know if I can take another Christmas in LA. Another picture of sangria in an empty beach cafe. Another Christmas in LA. Hold me tighter, Carmelita. I don't know how long I can stay. I left a girl behind in my old man's truck. Sometimes I wonder where she ended up. Maybe she got married, had a couple of kids. Who do you think you're fooling, man? Of course she did. I'm walking in Dantana's bar to try and talk with Harry Dean. I don't know if I can take another Christmas in LA. Another casting call on Thursday for a job that doesn't pay. Another Christmas in LA. Another burnout in a tank top that seems to bask in his decay. A fat protagonist in flip-flops with an extensive resume. From Echo Park to Catalina, dreaming of a white Christmas. Christmas, the one I used to know. Treetops glisten, children listen to sleigh bells in the snow. Another Christmas in LA. Up in a beach town and never learns to surf. Sounds like the perfect distillation of my time spent here on earth. But I have stared at the horizon with both feet in the sand. The thing I love about the ocean, it comes and waves. Waves. I've been feeling like a light bulb when the filament won't glow. Surrounded by darkness because the current's moving slow. Am I losing my intensity? Is that feeling here to stay? But that's the thing about electricity. It comes and waves. It comes in waves. It comes in waves. I think I found something in common with nothingness and God. You stare at either in the face too long, they'll do each other's jobs. Sometimes those silences are holy. Sometimes I'm drifting into space. But if the spirit's moving through me, it comes and waves. It comes and waves. I think their grip is getting looser. I think they're giving us a try. If you feel good about the future, then baby, so do I. Let's keep an eye on all our enemies while we're popping the champagne. 'Cause that's the thing about a victory. It comes in waves. It comes in waves. It comes in. Hey. comes and Mom got drunk and Dad got drunk at our Christmas party. We were drinking champagne and punch and homemade eggnog. Little sister brought her new boyfriend. He was a Mexican. We didn't know about him till he sang Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. Brother Ken brought his kids with him, the three from his first wife Lynn, and the two identical twins from the second wife, Mary Nell. Of course, he brought the new wife, Kay, and talked all about AA. Chain smoking while the radio played Noel, Noel, the first Noel. Carved the turkey, put the ball game on. Mixed margaritas when the eggnog's gone. Send somebody to the quick pack store. We need some ice and an extension cord. A can of bean dip and some diet right. A box of tampons and some Marlboro lights. Hallelujah, everybody say cheese. Merry Christmas from the family. Fred and Rita drove from Harlingen. I can't remember how I'm kin to them. But when they tried to plug the motor home in, they blew our Christmas lights. Cousin David knew just what went wrong, so we all waited out on our front lawn. He threw the breaker and the lights came on, and we sang Silent Night, oh Silent Night. Carved the turkey, turned the ball game on. Mixed Bloody Marys, cause we all want one. Send somebody to the stop and go. We need some celery and a can of fake snow. A bag of lemons and some diet Sprites. A box of tampons and some Salem lights. Hallelujah, everybody say cheese. Merry Christmas from the family.
The SoCal Sound sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater, audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.